Welcome back to Resilience by Faith podcast, where we share stories and topics that give God the glory, and it's talked about in a modern way where people of all ages can relate to. So come on in because we have a lot to catch up on. Welcome back, everybody, to Resilience by Faith podcast. Thank you for joining us this week for another fun, fulfilling episode to get our week started. Today, I have a very special guest with me. Her name is Yamana, and I am so happy to have her here, and she has such a beautiful name. My goodness, I might steal it for my kids. I might name my kid after you, love. But tell everybody hello.
There's several of us. There's actually a Facebook group full of us. Some of us pronounce our names differently, but there's a Facebook group of like 60 of us. Yeah.
What? Yeah. Oh, this is news super random. To me. Yeah, no, I'm glad you told me because I've never met anybody with your name. So I was just like, what? Yeah. There's 60.
At least.
Thank you. Yes, no problem. Thank you, love, for joining me this afternoon and just spending time out your evening to come on the show and share your story with us. I'm so thankful to have you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Now, let me see. Where are you calling in from?
So I am in Nashville, Tennessee. I've been here for 14 years now.
Okay. Where were you before Nashville? I like Nashville.
Okay. So before Nashville, I was in Chattanooga for 5 years for college. And before Chattanooga, I was in Knoxville. That's where I'm born and raised.
Oh, cool. Okay. So, Lord, Tennessee I'm a mutt. I always tell people I'm a mutt because I started off in New Jersey, then I went to South Carolina, then I went to Virginia, and I lived like borderline Virginia, Tennessee. Like I was in Roanoke, I was in the mountains. So everybody would always go to Gatlinburg and like get a cabin and like, and I'm just like, I've never been, I wanted to go, but I didn't have nobody to go with. So, but I've always
it's the thing to do if you're up there. And I've even been back with friends. We've put together a group of us and done a cabin trip. It's a good time. You should do it.
Okay. Well, I got to find me some friends first.
Okay. We'll work on that.
Oh, Lord. But yes. So like, I guess just to break the ice, usually when I'm talking to people or I'm getting to know people, interviewing them, I always ask, what is your favorite caffeinated beverage? Because I do medicine and all I do is drink coffee every day. So I'm just like, that's my favorite. I like hazelnut. I like vanilla, cinnamon, don't matter. So are you a caffeinated drinker? Are you more of a tea drinker or kind of?
I will say caffeine does not do it for me the way that it gives other people that extra jolt of energy. Energy drinks, like none of that stuff. Either that or I'm just completely unaware, but I don't think that's the case. It doesn't really do it for me. I do like the flavor of coffee. So I enjoy coffee with like tea or cake or something. I mean, with like cake or pie or something like that. But if I'm picking between coffee and tea, I'm always going to go with tea.
Tea. What's your favorite? Yes. I've had a couple of people like that too. What's your favorite type of tea?
I would say probably chai, because I do like a little splash of milk, oat milk in my tea. Gives it a little creaminess. Yeah.
Finally, somebody who likes to put milk in their tea. I do like milk in my tea. My mom did that since I was little. And other people looked at me like I was crazy. But now everybody's drinking boba tea and they have milk tea. And I'm just like, see, I was on before you guys caught up.
Oh, I think the British have been on to milk and tea for quite some time. So, yeah.
Oh, the British got us beat. Okay.
But we're glad to have it here too.
Yes, finally. We're glad to have it here too. Well, love, let me see. Tell us something about you. Tell us a little bit, like a little synopsis about who you are and what brought you to wanting to be a guest on the show.
Yeah. So I launched a life coaching business in February of this year, 2/22/22. I am a career coach, and I am here to help women make more money landing leadership roles. And if a leadership role is not the end goal, just getting into a position that's going to be fulfilling. Because a lot of us are just going through the motions, doing what we feel like we need to do, following in the footsteps of somebody else or somebody else's dream, and not doing what we want to do. And too much of time is consumed at work, and we should enjoy it. And in addition to that, it shouldn't just barely be enjoyable. Like, we should be thoroughly enjoying the time that we spend doing whatever it is that we're spending our time on.
Right. So yeah. I just recently figured out and cracked the code that, well, maybe I didn't crack the code. This might not be new to you guys who are listening, but it just dawned on me that I'm going to spend the rest of my life working. And about time I retire, I'm going to be old and nothing to show for it. Now, we all have 401k and all this other stuff, but like, as for actually living life, I don't think this is a setup for actually living it. It's not. And I like, it's not, it's real ghetto. And I was telling you, as you said that, I was just like, leadership roles. I mean, I do enjoy what I get the chance to do. I love working in psychiatry and substance abuse, and I love taking care of people and giving patient education and everything. And outside of work, I do all these other things. But I'm just like, what was like the catapult point for you, like saying, I want to do leadership? Because you could have did like, I'm going to teach you how to do real estate, or I'm going to teach you how to be a public speaker. I'm going to like, what made you say leadership is like my niche?
So I hired a coach to help me with getting clearer on my niche this year, because it's something that I've been trying to figure out, but it never, like, it makes sense conceptually, but then creating it and it feeling like something that people will understand when you say it is a totally different thing. And so I feel like for leadership, it was just, it doesn't have to be, like I said, it doesn't have to be leadership, but I do feel like it tends to be people who are ready to advance in some way in their career are the people who have the drive and the dedication that it requires to commit to coaching and actually getting results and moving the needle forward. Not saying that that's the only people, but, you know, anybody who wants to be a public speaker or in real estate, whatever that looks like, sales or whatever, there's leadership in all of those positions. So it felt like a good umbrella way to capture people who are serious about next steps in their life.
I like that, because sometimes some people can be too specialized or too niche down, and they kind of cut themselves off. So I like the fact that your coach helped you realize that it's just plain leadership. That's what we're looking at. And that, like you said, there is leadership in every one of those little things that I mentioned. So yeah, it is like an umbrella term. I like that. I like that. So when did you actually like launch? Well, what were you doing kind of like before? And then what was like the turning point when you just said, this ain't for me. I'm about to leave and go into business for myself.
So full disclosure, I am still full-time employed. I work as an accounting manager. That is my day job. I have done that for 9 years now. Not the accounting manager part, but in the same company, in the same role. Like, I was a step down and I got promoted 3 years ago, I think it was. But yeah, I've been there for 9 years. The job is easy enough. And honestly, when I decided some years back, I was like, you know what? I'm going to commit. I work for state government. I said, I'm going to commit to this job and allow my student loans to be forgiven, because public service worker. And that has been my goal. My loans are due to be forgiven in total by 2028, regardless of whatever's currently going on. But that's 5 years away, you know, with 2023 right around the corner. And my job does not feed me and lift me up and nourish me the way that I desire, number one. Number two, it's never going to pay me enough for me to live the life that I see for myself. And number three, there was a time when I had first transitioned into management, and I had recognized that despite the skill set that I may have, people are going to show up how they're going to show up. And the systems that are in place in companies works the way that they intend for it to. And I'm not willing to do other people's work. I'm not willing to micromanage and hold people's hands. You're expected to do this job. We've laid it out ABC. If you need some additional support, that's one thing, but I'm not doing it for you. And right. So I realized that, one, I was having to set boundaries to protect myself at work. But two, it does not make me come alive. I don't dread going in. I'm not the person who rolls over on Monday and says, oh, I can't believe it's Monday. I hate it here. But yeah. I would rather not roll over and do this 5 days a week. Right. And the turning point for me was actually when I had that early on management experience, and having to take a stand, set boundaries for myself to protect myself. I realized that that was very synonymous with mm-hmm. my relationship with family members and friendships that I'd had over the years. And so I was like, oh, there's a pattern here. 2020 was when this happened. Also, the pandemic. So everybody was going through the worst of the worst. And it just got really dark. And I had had a reading in New Orleans in November of 2020. And she said that she saw me on stage sharing a message. This is nothing I've ever considered for myself. But I do know that people find my voice soothing. They find my advice sound. And I've kind of naturally always been a coach. And yeah. So when she said that, and then I kept digging into what that could look like, I learned that speakers book trips around where they're going to have speaking engagements. And I said, oh, this mm-hmm. is my new life. Let me go ahead and build this out. Yeah. And that was really the starting point. And learning the things that I've learned and knowing the money that is in speaking and just in people having transformation, like, it's going to always require me to grow and challenge myself. And it continues to transition people throughout the world. And so it feels like the biggest purpose I've ever felt like I needed to serve, but it also doesn't mm-hmm. feel very heavy. And yes. I'm going to be retiring at 50. We're speaking.
I love that.
At least the option to retire, even if I don't actually, I just want the option. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just the option. I mean, because like I said, it's really like, it's not giving. It's really not. It's real ghetto out yeah. here. And they're talking about raising the retirement age again, and then people yeah. worrying about Social Security, and some people.
We're not going to get Social Security.
I believe it. I believe they just want to take yeah. all that money stored up that people done paid into and spend yeah. it on nonsense. Yeah. I truly believe that. But I love that for you. So like, you're teaching people how to go out here and get to the bag doing type of leadership or doing speaking. But then it's funny because they also saw you speaking, mm-hmm. you yourself, as you were like coming up or like when you were younger, have you ever honestly saw yourself like getting up and speaking in front of people? Like, have you been shy, or have you been kind of like the quiet person, or kind of like just with it, just out there?
Okay. So as a kid, I've always had a lot of personality. Yeah. I've also been very independent. Mm-hmm. So like, I've been in get shit done mode my whole life. Yes. But along the way, growing up in a single mother household with a younger yeah. sibling, I took mm-hmm. on, because it wasn't my choice, additional responsibilities. And that is something that I carried until about 2 years ago when I started mm-hmm. giving everybody their things back. Yes. And so, in the process of childhood and being free and, you know, no limitations, just being wild and funky, you know, being a kid, mm-hmm. it got watered down in the mix of being an adult so early. And mm-hmm. so then also dealing with conflict was not a thing that we did in my house. Talking about feelings, my mother told me wasn't nothing wrong with her, that I was the one that needed help. Like, it just, expressing myself has not been something I've had room to do. I've not been allowed the space to have my own feelings and thoughts about what I like and don't like, because I've been in a space where I've been a caretaker for so many people around me. But I also know at the same time that, like I said, coaching seems to be a natural thing. I've had strangers all my life walk up to me and tell me their life. Right. Unprovoked. I'm not standing there like, hey, give me a hug and come tell me your life. People like just tell me their business. Yeah. And when I, you know, give feedback or whatever the case may be, there's always so much value in that for the other person. And so with that being, you know, the reflection and the awareness that was brought about, I was like, you know what? This speaking thing could be a thing. I just would have to like stop being comfortable being the woman behind the curtain and be okay with being the face of something and people like talking to me directly. Because, you know, I think I'm hilarious. I share really cool stories and people like to listen to what I have to say. So I think that being on a stage would be the best way to spread my message and to really display my personality and for people to be able to connect with me on a deeper level.
I love it. I definitely love it. And me and you are more alike than we know, because my mom, like, I grew up in a single parent household, and I'm telling you, I started reading this book and it's called Adults of Emotionally Immature Parents. Mm-hmm. And when I say, I'm at the very beginning, but that's a little book, but powerful. And it opened my eyes. Like, I just started reading this book last month, and it opened my eyes like something serious. Like, I never looked at the parent as such an immature child. And I was just like, but why? And then the book goes into trying to understand why they are the way they are. Mm-hmm. And then that made me think back, okay, my grandparents, okay, now I understand, blah, blah, blah. Yes. But now that I have an understanding, I want to make sure that my kids don't experience that. I want to raise them to say, hey, I don't feel like giving you a hug right now. Or, hey, I don't feel like that's appropriate. Or, I, you know, just to speak up for themselves so that they don't feel like they can't express themselves or they feel shut down because children are seen and not heard. That little blur.
Oh, yeah, my gosh. I can't stand that's been the story of my walking life. Yes.
Can't stand it. And so I just want to undo all that when I finally maybe one day have a kiddo. But before I have a kiddo, I want to live my best life. So you hit me when you said that earlier, that this ain't the life, or they ain't going to pay me the money I need to live my life.
The life I want to live, honey, they ain't paying enough. They ain't paying the top people enough.
They're not. They're not on top tier, sis, top tier. Luxury, Black Girl Lux is giving. That's what I want. And so you're right. Like, we shouldn't have to slave and not be able to enjoy it, because we only get one life. And then before you know it, the life be gone. And you're like, well, what did you do? Did you enjoy your life?
Yeah.
You know, just thinking about things like that. Absolutely. And I don't want to get up there and say, no, I didn't enjoy my life. I worked.
Listen, and I've read some books over the last couple years, and several of them have reiterated how people, the best dreams are in the graveyard.
Ooh, I heard that quote one time before, and you just brought it back full. Yes, I've heard
because
that
quote. People on their deathbed are there. Are so many people who die with great dreams that they were too afraid or too ashamed or too whatever to ever get off the ground even a little bit. And I ain't doing it. I'm breaking all these generational curses and all this trauma. I'm undoing it for everybody ahead of me. I do not want kids myself, but I can parent in another way. I can share my motherliness in another way. I'm undoing it for this family, honey, because we're not going to keep doing this.
No, we're not. We're just not. And I mean, even I think overall, I don't know what type of era we're in, but I guess we're in the era of breaking generational curses, because people on TikTok, I've seen other female, black females say, well, I am the firstborn and I am the oldest and I've had to do X, Y, Z, but I didn't ask for it. Like, that's a whole
I tell you what, it will make you angry and resentful, because that was some of the work that I had to go through myself last year and the year before. It was very much, I didn't ask for this. I have always had to figure out everything. When is it going to be my turn to just step into the step by step?
I'm looking. I'm trying to see if I can see it. When is it going to be my turn to come? Just like,
I'm gonna tell you what I've settled on. What? Sometimes we are the person who has to trailblaze. It doesn't exist because we haven't done it yet.
Yep. And I'm just at the point where I guess I'm gonna have to create it for myself, because I'm tired. I'm just super tired.
Have you watched Love Lizzo? It's on, I want to say HBO Max.
I did.
When she said at the end of that, she said, when I told myself that I wanted to see somebody fat like me, black me and all that, she said, I didn't know it was going to have to be me.
It didn't know it was going to have to be me, but now I created it. Yeah. I created it. Yep. I love that documentary. She was very vulnerable, but then she also led us into, like, I guess her stage dancers and things and kind of sessions that they've had, and they were expressing themselves. And I was like, it just dawned on, like, first of all, they're female and then they're black and then they're obese. Yep. So they got all these things against them. And that lady said, I've never been in a place where I felt so free. Yes. Like I'm able to express myself. And she started crying, and that it just hit me like a ton of bricks that we are so mean. I mean, so mean. The public is just so mean to people. Society. And she's like, it's terrible.
Yeah. Because there's all these beauty standards that have never been realistic. And And the lack of representation is so much more evident when we receive more stuff. So, like, I know, for instance, there was like a diagram on, I don't know, Instagram or somewhere. And it was a diagram of a pregnant woman, but the diagram, which was not a human, it was just a drawing, was a black person. And whoever posted it was like, and I've never seen a black person pregnant diagram. And I was like, now that you mention it, you're right. And it made me cry, because I'm like, damn, we are nowhere. But we're supposed to be able to dream and visualize and reach for the stars, but we don't see people who are already there on that path. And so how can you see yourself in that?
And that makes me mad. That makes me mad, because now I'm thinking about it and I was like, I ain't never, and I'm in medicine and it's not created equal at all. Now that I'm in it, it's a lot of adversity I had to go through, and I'm still going through, but at least the people that I'm working for now is not that much. So, but I mean, still, it's still out there. It's still everywhere. And they think, you know, you're not on their level, even though you have the same degree and you gotta,
it's not higher. It's just, yes.
it's not, they still look at you less than. So I'm happy you said that, because now I'm just like, we need to create some black diagrams. Mm-hmm. We need to create some, because that's sad. With our whole life, we've been seeing people that don't look like us, and we're just like, okay, that's just the way it is. Not that's even knowing we don't come from. Yeah. God. That makes me angry. That makes me angry. But I'm glad you said that. Mm-hmm. So, my love, how many years has it been for you? You said 2020. So it's been almost 3 years for your coaching business.
2022. So since February of this year. Yes, I am fresh out the gate.
Huh. Well, if people want to find you or support you, or if they're like, yeah, I do want to do speaking, like, or I do need help with this, or I just want to run this by somebody, I need her. Like, how can they find you?
Yes. So I am on all things social media, as Coach Yams, Y-A-M-Z. You can find me on LinkedIn, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the things. If you go to chatwithyams.com, you can book a 10-minute call with me for us to have a conversation.
Okay. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yams. Did you? And that made me think about Charlie Wilson. And so
Let me tell you something. I have been Yams since, I want to say college. Like, that's just what people started calling me. It stuck. And then also I did a sorority in college. I'm a Zeta. And so I started throwing Z's on things back then. And it just stuck. And so here we are, fast forward, and Masego and whoever else has this Yam song, and Charlie Wilson's out here doing, and everybody else. And I'm like, yes, theme song. Come find Coach Yams and tie that to me, please. Let's do this.
Yes. Yeah, you should really. You should play the song, Can I Get to Them Yams? I'm not tired of trying to figure out what to do or how to speak or how to move forward. Are you stuck? And have Charlie in the background hitting the notes. I'm here for it. Yeah. I'm here for it.
I see this for myself.
I can see it. And I'm like, I know her. Yeah. She was on the show. I know her. I love that, sis. Yeah. Well, I know that we're towards the end of the recording, but I do want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing this with us, and sharing your story and sharing your laughs and your personality with us. I've surely enjoyed you. If you had to give anybody that's listening advice, if it's rather towards like just stepping into who they are and becoming their own person, or taking that first step of faith, maybe they have an idea that they want to bring to life and maybe they're lost and don't know where to start, what would you tell them?
Yes, I say two things. Number one, you don't have to know how. You just have to start moving. One step is more than no steps. And if you take one step every single day, you're way closer than if you sat and thought about it. So get in action. Even if you don't know what it is, take the next, the step that you know you can take. And for me, what my personal experience has been with that, because I didn't know how to first of all, if I needed an LLC, and you know, the booking links and the professional email, I didn't know any of this stuff. Your girl has been corporate my whole life. I've never had to do this amount of legwork, but this is what I want. And so I'm putting forth the effort. And every time I take a step, the next couple things are revealed to me. So just get in action. The path will reveal itself. And the other thing is accountability. Even if you don't have a coach, which a coach would help you get there, because they're not, you can't talk, you know, yourself out of a thing when there's another person, unbiased party. But even if it's just accountability with a friend or setting a calendar event or a reminder, have some level of accountability to keep yourself moving forward.
I love that. Because, I mean, I can get one day, I can have all the good idea and good intentions in the world. And then something happened one day and I knew I was supposed to pick this ball up, but I dropped the ball because I'm tired and I don't feel like doing it. So it's good to have accountability. Yeah. But furthermore, just on a serious note, taking that first step, I'm so happy you said that, because a lot of people get discouraged. And I think social media is such a good tool, but it can be so negative at times when you can get on and you have access to people's lives like that, because they only highlight the good stuff. So then you compare and contrast and you're like, well, I'm not like them. And who am I kidding? Like, I can't. So I'm glad you said that. Just take one step. Don't got to know how, when, where. Don't have to have the funds. Just do what you can do. I'm happy you said that.
Do what you can. Absolutely. Absolutely. And every day is not going to look like an Instagram reel, honey. There's going to be ugly cries and failure. It's part of it.
Yes. Yes.
But it doesn't define you.
No, it doesn't.
Just keep going.
Yes. And I'm taking that to heart, too, because I'm going to keep rolling. I'm going to keep rolling, too.
Do it.
Well, thank you, my love. Thank you, Miss Yams. I'm gonna think of Charlie Wilson gonna be in my head all night because of you. I'm gonna be Thanksgiving over here. I got me a can of sweet candy.
Yep, gonna be over body rolling yams.
Let me tell Miss Coach Yams. Let me tell her I was thinking about her today. I had some sweet potatoes, some yams. Oh, Lord. But yes, my love, thank you so much. Thank you for bringing your personality. You brightened my whole afternoon. Just thank you. Just speaking with you was so enlightening. I love it. I love it. Yeah. And thank you guys for listening. I hope that this episode brightened up your day. That's why we do these episodes on Monday, so it can set the tone for the whole week and just bring some sunshine into your life. I hope that you laughed and giggled along with us. Please check the show notes for all of her information and to contact her and give her feedback about this show if you would like. But until next time, guys, I will talk to you on the next episode. Bye, guys. As always, thank you for tuning in to Resilience by Faith podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and like, share, and support. That's the best way to help me reach more people around the world. And I will see you next time. Bye-bye.